This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Good to be back in the saddle. We'll do some voicemails, some emails next. Back to some politics and things. I saw, speaking of the world, we don't understand. We were just talking about the billionaire world, the mega, mega billionaire world of Las Vegas casinos, which I found out about this last weekend. This is from Newsweek. Russian oligarch found dead in Moscow after falling out of a window. All right. Let me tell you something. And I only know a little bit about this world, but it is true, okay? How many times have you picked up the paper? This isn't just unique to Russia. And you've seen some sort of rich guy on Wall Street jumping out of his window, jumping off his penthouse balcony. Goldman Sachs executive jumps to his death. And you've seen many of these headlines. Are some of these headlines true? Are some of the stories that are presented publicly true? Did this guy lose it all, screw something up? Wife left him, who knows, he'd get to a place in his life where, God forbid, I want people to stop doing this, where he decided he was going to end it all. Is that true some of the time? Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. But you know what else is true? There are men across the planet who are paid to kill people. This is not something in the movies. Again, I want to direct you to a book if that kind of world fascinates you at all. The book is called Zero Footprint. Remember, the rule is I say it three times and then you never email me again asking me the name of the book. The book is called Zero Footprint. One more time. The book is called Zero Footprint. Anyway, it's about a mercenary. He's dead now, sadly. Lost his life at Iraq, Afghanistan. What was it, Chris? Iraq or Afghanistan? Oh, a London terror attack. Okay, well, the guy was a warrior. He was one of the good ones. But the guy was a mercenary, but he does discuss in detail in there that there are a lot of former military guys, and what they do is they go kill people for money. Finance people don't often commit suicide by doing the nasty plunge out the 63rd floor of their window. That's not normally a thing that happens, but what is a normal thing is you, for various reasons, maybe it's life insurance reasons, maybe you don't want to deal with the law enforcement headaches. One of the easiest ways to kill somebody without a single hint of, whoa, it might have been a murder. One of the easiest ways to get that done is to throw somebody off of a building or out of a window. I don't have any idea what happened to this Russian oligarch. Maybe they were just out of vodka and he couldn't take it anymore. But whenever you see a story about a really wealthy guy, a finance guy in Moscow, on Wall Street, in Shanghai, he was on the 73rd floor and he committed suicide. Nobody saw this coming. When you deal in the finance world, you will eventually come into contact with men who will kill for money. And there's a reason that profession is as hazardous as underwater welding sometimes. Now, let's do some voicemails. Remember, you can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373.
Hey, Weekend Warrior. Just keep telling it like it is. These stupid Democrats, they're going to vote for a bag of rocks before they vote with any intelligence. So just keep telling the truth. Screw them all.
Well, we'll keep doing that. And remember, indoctrination is real. Indoctrination is real. And that's the word we use for it when we're talking about something negative, indoctrination. But what happens is human beings learn a value system. They learn a value system, and we can all fall into this trap where we assume our values that we have learned throughout our lifetime, that those are human values. That's kind of how humans are. Humans just naturally have this. Humans are naturally kind to strangers, or men will naturally be protective of women. And these concepts are oftentimes unique to our culture or our upbringing. When it comes to the American Democrat today, this does not apply to older Democrats. It really genuinely doesn't. That was a very much patriotic generation. But for a Democrat today, you have been trained mostly by your parents, by social influences, by your teachers, by the media. You have been trained to hate America as much as you or me love it. You look around and you see that you live in a free country, in a prosperous country, and you look around and you're grateful for this and grateful for that and grateful for our standard of living and all these other things. And you look at the Democrat and you don't understand, how could you hate this place where you are luxuriating? You are luxuriating in this country and you despise it. But that's because you had good parents or good influences of some kind in your life that taught you the values of gratefulness, of appreciation, of freedom. You have learned these things. You've been taught these things. You didn't come out of the womb knowing any of that. The American Democrat came out of the womb being taught that America sucks. It's horrible. It's evil. It's awful. When I tell you that they think they are fighting Nazis, they think they are fighting Nazis. That's crazy to you. You don't like Nazis. Who would want to be a Nazi? The American Democrat has been trained to believe America is evil and the people who want to protect it are Nazis. And as we have talked about before, why do they use that language? Well, when you dehumanize your political enemy to such a point where they are considered Nazis, then what happens is your conscience will allow you to do whatever you want to that person. Whatever you want. After all, what's more evil than a Nazi? So you can be, and there are Democrats like this, where maybe you are, in a general sense, maybe you are a kind human being. Maybe you even have some respect for life. Maybe animal life, maybe even human life. But you can be all that, and you can be driving down the road, and if Adolf Hitler happens to come back to life and he's walking across the road shouting about Jews and gays or whatever he's doing, you might not hit the brake. You might hit the gas. Why? Because it's Adolf freaking Hitler, that's why. Democrats have always understood that. The communists have always understood that better than we do. They have. This is what we talked about before, how language leads to mindset and mindset leads to performance. The American Democrat shows up in off-year elections. You know, we're talking about our election coming up and the election that's now, because people are early voting and they're mail-in voting and we're all getting excited and yeah, it feels good and well, hopefully Trump wins and well, we're all get out to the polls and get out the vote. And yes, all those things are very, very good things. But do you know that the American Democrat, he does that in the off year too. After this election, let's say, hey, cross your fingers, let's say, Lord willing, Trump wins. How much excitement, how much energy will there be out there for that school board election that's coming next April? Well, there won't be hardly any on our side. Hardly any at all. Not for our side, but for the American communist. Well, he's fighting against the evil that is America. He has been told repeatedly that he is fighting Nazis and he's fighting against an evil, racist, genocidal country. You're politicking, he's fighting World War II all over again. And that has been, it's been trained into him. That is what we're up against. And that's why we have to increase our commitment to things. And that leads me to what I teased earlier before we get to the emails, the friend-enemy distinction. This goes back to a guy, I don't want to nerd out on, I don't want to sound like some nerdy academic, so I'm not going to bore you with it. You're welcome to look into him if you'd like. His name was Carl Schmitt. He was actually a communist and a Nazi. You did know that was a thing, right? They called them beefsteak Nazis. The communists and the Nazis were fighting for control of Germany. Once the Nazis won, most of the communists just became Nazis, and they called them beefsteak Nazis because they were brown on the outside and red in the middle. Anyway, Carl Schmitt was one of those types, and he had something that was known as the friend-enemy distinction. I'm not going to go into his background or really even what that is. I'm just going to talk about how it manifests itself today. I'll talk about that in a second. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Anna, it is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Of course, it was a Medal of Honor Monday. And before I get into the friend-enemy distinction thing, I should clarify something. A bunch of people have emailed the show about the beginning of the show tonight. There was some kind of tech glitch. You know, I would love nothing more than to blame Jewish producer Chris, but it was not his fault. There was a tech glitch that for some reason played some sports show for a bunch of people at the beginning of the show tonight. I normally wouldn't bring it up, and frankly, I normally wouldn't care that much, except at the very beginning of this show tonight, I was explaining where I was last week, and I was talking about my dad dying and all that other stuff. And that was probably as heavy a segment as I've ever done on the air. So tonight I actually do care. So if you missed that, download a podcast of the show, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. That is not a story I'm going to ever retell. If you want any more details on where I was, I explained it, and then apparently someone screwed up. And that is not normally something I would even care about or bring up, except tonight I do care. I do care very much. So whatever, that's where I was. I'm not going to explain it again. Now let's move on, talk about some other things. The friend-enemy distinction, as I mentioned going into the break, it's from a German Nazi slash communist by the name of Carl Schmitt. It doesn't matter that we don't have to go into the heady details of it. But here's what you need to know about it. And you see this everywhere. Once I kind of explain how it plays out, you'll see it everywhere now with America's communists. Donald Trump did the McDonald's thing. Okay, he did the McDonald's thing. We talked about it. You know about it. Okay, here's an article. This is, I believe it's from Newsweek. Yep, this is from Newsweek today. McDonald's Donald Trump worked at failed the last health inspection, according to Newsweek. Hold on, what? You are Newsweek, and you launched an investigation into the franchise. You know, these are all franchises, into the franchise that hosted Donald Trump for, you know, half hour for a political stunt. And now you're trying to destroy them and destroy their reputation. Why? What? That's just so, not only just nonsensical, it's just evil and wrong. He's not even going back. What do you gain from that? Well, the friend-enemy distinction, that way of thinking, the American communist, well, not the American communist, this goes way back to the Soviets. The communist thinks in this way. For my friends, for my allies, they must be protected at any cost and given everything. Laws, rules, truth, facts, none of those things matter. My friends get everything. For my enemies, for anyone who shows themselves to be an enemy to me, they must be completely and utterly destroyed at any cost. And so you, if a Red Lobster, not that they would ever do such a thing, but if Red Lobster, if they hosted, if there was a Red Lobster in Houston, Texas, and they hosted Kamala Harris, and she was going to do a campaign stunt like Trump did and hand out Cheddar Bay biscuits, it would never occur to me to declare warfare on that franchise, even if I was angry they did it. And I might be. If it was my Red Lobster or something, I might be angry. But even then, it would never occur to me to declare war on that franchise, because it's just, it's done. It's over. She's moved on. She's never going to go back there. What do I gain from it? I can disagree with it. Even if I don't ever go back, I would never try to destroy them. But that's how the communist thinks. That's how the communist thinks. And you see this all the time with how they talk. Here's one. This is from Daily Fetched. CNN panelist. White people who don't vote for Kamala must face accountability. Her name is Angela Rye. Well, we don't have to get into who this is or even play it for you. It doesn't matter. But what's she saying? Well, if you are a white person and you don't submit to my will, you are the enemy. And we intend to come for you. That's how they think. At a Trump rally recently, people gathered. There were a bunch of communists. Apparently, they were in the parking lot, from what I understand, jotting down license plate numbers, figuring out who people were. Now people are getting they're getting letters in the mail, threatening letters saying, you and the way you vote and who you support, it threatens my rights, and I'm going to come for you. Again, you go through the parking lot, you jot down license plate numbers, you've declared yourself to be an enemy. What is it? There's an old quote. I don't remember who said it. For my friends, everything. For my enemies, the law. And that is how the communist operates. That is how the communist thinks. For my friends, everything. My enemies simply must be destroyed. Jesse, I love your show. I'm watching this huge goof up with Tim Walz and his so-called hunting exhibition. He goes on to talk about what an embarrassment he was working with the shotgun. Yeah, again, look, they don't know how to pretend to be normal because they never have been, ever. And they pull these stunts, and then you hear it right here. They think, well, clearly that was enough. You won't oppose me anymore, right? I pretended to know about pheasants.
So you're out hunting pheasants.
Yep.
Is that enough to convince people there's a middle ground on this issue? Because right now, right wingers are coming after you for how you handled your shotgun.
Well, I can shoot better than all of them. I guarantee it.
Yeah, no, you can't, Tiny Tim. No, you can't. Anyway, let's have a conversation about the most innocent among us. I am a lot of things. Innocent is most definitely not one of them. And that's the thing about abortion that gets me. It's not just the killing of somebody. I don't want anyone to be killed, but it is the most defenseless, innocent human being in its mother's womb, just needing to be protected for a chance at life. And we kill them. A million of them a year. We slaughter them here. And preborn is being the hands and feet stopping this with the gift of ultrasound. Finding these women, they go right into the highest abortion areas and they find these women who are about to murder their babies and they give them free ultrasounds. Because when a woman gets a free ultrasound, she chooses life almost every time. There's just something about hearing that heartbeat. It's the most effective pro-life tool we have. And $28 is what buys it. It's all tax deductible. Give what you can to Preborn. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Of course, it's been a Medal of Honor Monday. Again, I want to remind you at the beginning of the show, I told you where I was last week. I told you about my father, Don Kelly, passing away. told you what happened, where I was, what happened afterward. If you missed that or any other part of the show, download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. You want to email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, remember, you can leave voicemails, 877-377-4373. Let's get rid of some of those.
Jesse, got a question. How come we don't hear anything about the cabinet, the current cabinet, and what that has meant to the American people, the quality thereof, what that's meant to the American people? And
well, it's hard to find a good cabinet anymore. You go to Target, obviously you're not going to get good quality in there. You go to Lowe's, you can't find, you get really have to go to something Amish, something made in America, if you're going to find any kind of a decent cabinet at all. Handsome Dr. Oracle, I just wanted to let you know I moved out of my blue state into a red state, upgraded from 4-bedroom, 2-bath on 1/2 acre in a blue state to 4-bedroom, 2-bath on 5 acres in a red state for a third of what I paid for the house in Commie, California. I love my neighbors. They're about half black, half white, but everyone waves hello to one another as they go and come in the neighborhood. A few have even come by to welcome me to the community. Funny to me that the left has always talked about how racist the South is, but black and white Americans down here are friendly to one another and get along just fine, despite what the woke people want you to believe. Look, Clarence Thomas said it a lot better than I could because he's black and I'm white. Clarence said the worst racism he has ever experienced in his life is not in the South. It's from Northeastern liberals. Don't believe this division. This is what they did to us on purpose. They wanted to make it a friend-enemy thing. If you're black, you're on my team. Everyone white's against you. That's a friggin' lie. Don't let them do that to you. Jesse, on Saturday, I had a couple hours free. I went to help swing by my local Republican office to help make phone calls. There was barely anyone there. This is in the swing state of Wisconsin. I put a few hours in by calling close to 300 voters. I was even able to help an elderly man with his absentee ballot questions. Although it doesn't sound like much, we need more of us to put in the time because Democrats are beating our ground game. What do you mean doesn't sound like much? That sounds incredible to me. You stopped by and put in your time and made 300 phone calls? Doesn't sound like much. That's how we take a country back. That is how we take a country back. You can't do it alone. That's a good point, Chris. More than most people will do in their lifetimes. You can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. We all know Chris can't do it at all. We need help. We have to help each other. All of us. We have got to stop this savior complex on the right. I cannot stand it. And I know it's election season, so it gets worse now. But every time I hear, Trump's going to fix it all, it makes me want to throw myself off a bridge. That's not even humanly possible. Yes, things will get better if Trump gets elected. No question. Trump can't save us all. He can't drain the swamp. He can't fix all the wrongs. Only all of us getting involved can do that. No one man can do that. But people throw on a MAGA hat and vote once every 4 years and think that's how you save a country. It's not. I hate it. What you did, he stopped by. He was the hands and feet. He made it happen. That's friggin' awesome. Jesse, on Thursday, October 10th, you were talking about how the left was in love with abortion. Like, really, really in love. I never understand the obsession with it. Said he wants to answer why they love abortion. Can you ask why they love it? Why they love it? They're demonic. That may sound like before you roll your eyes, that may sound like a simplistic, ridiculous answer, but this is not something unique to America's left or unique to us. The most despicable societies in the history of mankind slaughtered babies as part. It was a religious ritual for them. You've heard of Baal. You've heard of the Carthaginians. We've talked about them before, but really Phoenician society. Carthaginians were Phoenicians. That was huge for them. Child sacrifice. Aztecs famously did this. Some Indian tribes in America did it, but various native people, I guess we're going to use their word native peoples, but various indigenous peoples across the world have done it. Modernized societies have done it. It's not unique to just less technologically advanced people. If you have a devil-worshipping society, it will be a society that sacrifices children, child sacrifice. Why does the devil do that? Why do societies do that? Because it's demonic. Why do demons do that? Because babies are the most precious, the most innocent. There was an article here. Oh, here it is. I was going to go into this tomorrow, but I'll just go over it right now. Girl Scouts may raise yearly dues by 240% amid declining membership. Well, you've seen this a lot. People complain about how Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, how they're all going to the left. There isn't any more gender. Girls, boys together. Your scout leader is a little...
Why are you gay?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. And people are angry about it. And you say things or think things like, why would they go after the Cub Scouts? How could they go after the Cub Scouts? Well, remember, they would never consider not going after the Cub Scouts because that's where the kids are. Kids are innocent. Kids are the most pure and most wonderful and most innocent. And so that's where the demons go. They're not going after me. Well, I take that back. They always go after me. But they're not concerned with adults or as concerned with adults. They want to slaughter babies. I know it sounds simplistic, but it's simply true. Children are innocent, therefore children must be devoured by the devil. That's how he thinks. That's how he operates. Goes after the most innocent, the most wonderful among us. And you see this all over the place. You realize this. I had a conversation today with a nonpartisan guy. I know that sounds crazy, but he genuinely is. He's a guy, he does a bunch of investigative journalism, and he is not a Republican. He's not on the right, and he's not a Democrat. He's not on the left. He just does kind of election analysis very, very dispassionately. So you could trust that stuff more. And we were talking about the campaign and who has momentum, and you should know Trump has all the momentum. He backed that up. Trump has the momentum, so I'm sure you probably feel good about that. But he said, Jesse, well, you have to understand right now it is a balancing act. About half the country is angry about immigration and they're angry about inflation and they're going to vote that way. He said, Jesse, easily half the country loves abortion and they're going to vote that way. They believe Kamala Harris will be more pro-abortion and that's the reason they're voting for her. Now, just think about this for a moment. Just think about that for a moment. Even if you're, and I know we have a bunch of people like this who don't care about abortion or maybe you're not even pro-life, but think about walking into the voting booth. You are voting for the direction of a country of 300 million people, their lives, their livelihoods, the future of generations, and not a tiny percentage of this country, half of the United States of America is going to walk into the voting booth and vote so they can murder their babies. That is, any way you slice it, demonic. That is, if that's how you vote, you have been filled with evil and you need to work on it big time. That is unbelievably evil. All right, let's do a couple more emails as we wrap this up here. I know it was a long show, heavy show tonight. Before we do that, let's talk about making sure we're ready for the fight ahead. Look, we can't be low T and get it done, gentlemen. We have fights coming. Political fights, cultural fights are coming. Maybe other kind of fights are coming. We can't win those fights if we're low T. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Are you tired a lot? Depressed a lot? Don't have quite the same focus you used to? Might not be your fault. You drink estrogen. It's in the waters. You drink estrogen. Now, here's what you need. You need to go to choq.com and get a male vitality stack. And I want you to get a subscription so you save a bunch of money because it's Choctober. Choq.com, promo code Jesse, get a subscription, and I want you to take it for 90 days. If you don't feel markedly better after 90 days, not a little, markedly better after 90 days, please cancel your subscription. They will not give you any guff about it at all. I have, to this day, never had somebody email and say, I canceled. In fact, Just talked to someone this weekend, said, best thing I ever did in my life. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on this Monday. We will be back tomorrow. You can send us an email, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us voicemails.
Hey Jesse, love your show. Reminded me of the blast I had while I was with the Devil Dog stationed out at the Stumps with 311 Artillery Battalion. I haven't read the Communist Manifesto, but I'm curious to know what your take is on Senator Joseph McCarthy. Seems like he was...
Joseph McCarthy was a man who warned America that the communists were taking over the education system, the media, and Hollywood. Does any of that sound familiar? Do you think maybe he was on to something? And listen... Anytime you hear the modern system we have, anytime there is universal hatred of any American, you should be automatically suspicious. I'm not saying it automatically makes the person they hate a good guy. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But whenever you hear all of them talk about McCarthy, oh, this is McCarthyism. This is McCarthyism. That should tell you everything you need to know. I'm not here to tell you Joseph McCarthy was some kind of a lion, that he was perfect, or because he certainly was not. But he is a man who understood the information was out there that this was done on purpose. Remember, this didn't just happen. Please do keep this in mind. It's not just one of these things that naturally happened. The Soviet Union launched a very, very focused campaign to get communism into America and get it into our institutions. It was done because they thought they had a much better shot at winning the war with us from within. Their economy, their military, they were never going to be able to match us. And they weren't stupid. They knew that. But they always thought because of our freedoms, they could take advantage of it and slowly but surely get their people wormed through our institutions. And they did that very successfully. Again, freedom is a good thing. It is what we want. You just have to be very careful with it. You have to be very, very careful when people are attacking it. You must attack back, and you have to be vicious with the people who are hostile to freedom. You can't allow freedom for people trying to destroy it. It's not something that can be allowed. You look at, there are countries around, Singapore is actually a good example. We're not going to go into that right now. Where they saw that, Japan honestly did the same thing. They saw communism starting to take a foothold in it, and it was handled with a level of viciousness because they understood this cancer has to be stopped now. It must be stopped, and it must be treated aggressively. If you don't, it will. Chris, what's that big word? It starts with an M. I can never say it right. Metastasize? Nailed it. I went, what, Chris? I went to a community college that was accredited. It will metastasize, second time I just nailed that word, and it will eventually be the death of your society. We were way, way too soft on the communists as they infected our institutions, as they grew, and we, you and I, suffer for that now. That we were so nice, just live and let live. That mentality is the reason now you and I have a mountain to climb. That's just the way it is. Speaking of which, you know, Iran recently rained missiles down on Tel Aviv. I'm sure you watched the video of it. It's freaking awful. You know, thousands of Israelis were hiding in bomb shelters as the missiles were dropping. It's part of the reason the death totals are so low. The Israelis get to bomb shelters. You know who builds those bomb shelters? Lots of them. The IFCJ. It's not just an organization handing out emergency food, although they do that too. They're handing out flak jackets and helmets. They're handing out armored ambulances so people can get medical care while the rockets are raining down, while the bullets are flying. That's what the IFCJ does, and that's what you support when you support the IFCJ. Call them. 888-488-IFCJ. Or you can go online to supportifcj.org. All right? Supportifcj.org. Jesse, I think my pastor might be listening to your show. This Sunday was part two of Christian Roles in Politics. He even talked about down ballot and local elections. He talked about immigration and abortion and even gave statistics. It was awesome. Look, there are a bunch of weak, pathetic pastors in this country who are leading their sheep to the slaughter, but there are a bunch of good ones too. And credit to you if you are one of those good ones. I saw some more things last week that really, really inspired me. Remember, the Christian church must rise to oppose communism, and we can win if it does. If we're going to be cheek turners, then we're finished. Don't you dare turn your cheek for a communist. Defeat him, make him your enemy, and go win.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
WAPO's favorite environmental group uses political research to link climate change to natural disasters, and it's also bankrolled by WAPO owner Jeff Bezos. This is from freebeacon.com. Remember all the... Well, there's a study, Harvard University, this science, they did a study on it. Scientists are almost always paid for by filthy communists. Remember how much propaganda surrounds you and me. Four employees placed on leave after allegedly giving kids sleep aid patches at a Texas school. On one hand, that's evil. On the other hand, I've had kids. I kind of get it. After questioning Trump's stamina, Kamala Harris leaves her own rally early. It's easy to criticize Kamala Harris for criticizing Trump's stamina, but who knows more about stamina than Kamala? FBI urged to investigate Columbia student group for allegedly endorsing violence. Why would the FBI start investigating themselves? Wyoming has found a way to mitigate forest fires. Stop blowing up dead horses. Where's the fun in that? San Francisco's Muni rail system will finally see an upgrade from floppy disks after the board vote. Boy, if that isn't the most government thing you've ever heard of in your life. I haven't seen a floppy disk since I got out of the eighth grade, which I got out with a solid C average. But of course, the government of San Francisco was still using them in the year of our Lord 2024. All right, to wrap up the show, I want to thank you again. You do not need to worry about me. I will be fine. Thank you again for your well wishes. Really, really thank you for your prayers. They were felt. My mother still needs them, so keep them coming. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You mean the world to me. It is good to be back. I will be back tomorrow. You're going to have to deal with my scrambled egg brain for a while because I got a bunch of crap going on, but we'll keep on keeping on, all right? That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.